Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us as we continue our study of Islamophobia and the 2020 election. Today, we'll continue in our study to examine the sample questions for candidates. These are the questions which were put together by CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations. These are the questions from which the liberals and the Muslims will find out who is the one who stands for the Muslims and who will be standing against them. And from answering these questions, they can eliminate all the conservatives from coming to power. So without further ado, here is question number 11.
Education, 11. School-to-prison pipeline. In addressing the school-to-prison pipeline, do you support policies that promote restorative justice and conflict de-escalation and resolution practices as opposed to disciplinary approaches, suspension, expulsion, arrest, in addressing student misconduct?
So now we see that the Muslims are trying to make the criminals of our society to be just simply victims. They have not been trained right. They need to be understood. They need to be treated more kindly, not to be put in prison for their crime. And boy, oh boy, if you can see the future of America, of all the criminals in America, be treated softly and tenderly, not the way the conservatives always have run the prison system. According to our laws, you will see the crime rate skyrocket like all liberal states. And that is the reality, as we have seen it in many of the large cities in America. When we are soft with the criminals, crime grows. But when we practice discipline and when the criminals pay the consequence for their actions, then crime rate will go down. But that's not what Muslims or liberal generally wants for America. Let's move on to question number 12.
Number 12, federal anti-bullying reform. Recent reports have indicated that Muslim children have faced increased bullying and harassment in schools. Do you support amending Title VI of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 to include religion as a protected characteristic in schools?
Here we go, America. Muslims are victims in our public schools. And I do not know how you can measure this claim in our public schools in America. Because in reality, I do not believe that Muslims are victims anywhere in the world except in the Muslim countries. And they are victims of Islam, not victims in America in our public schools. And to understand this question, please listen carefully to the following background.
Background. As of now, Title VI of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 does not directly cover religion. In some cases, the U.S. Department of Education can take action against religious-based harassment when it falls under the umbrella of shared ancestry of ethnic characteristics.
Now let's ask the question, where in the Muslim world can we find some Christians who are not persecuted? Can CARE name for me one country in the 57 Muslim country? How about the following question? Who are the true persecuted students in America? A Muslim student or a Christian student? Trust me, the liberals who hate Jesus Christ, who hate the Bible, who hate Christianity, are persecuting our Christian students. Trust me, I can go to any public school in America and I can wear any shirt of any Muslim logo or any Muslim writings. And trust me, not one teacher or any principal will dare to open his lips to tell me that I am not allowed to wear the shirt. But if I go to a school with a cross on a shirt or a verse from the Bible on a shirt, I will be ordered to take that shirt off and I will not be allowed to wear that shirt. Now we know about Christian persecution, but where can CARE show me that some Muslim student in America was persecuted for being a Muslim? What principal or teacher would ever persecute a Muslim in our public schools in America? None whatsoever. But I know the Muslims say that they are persecuted in our public schools. That is, if we do not allow them to wear the full hijab for the ladies, maybe if we do not give them the halal food at their meals, as we're going to see here, in our public schools. Or maybe if we do not allow them to stop during the class hours to go to pray the Muslim prayer somewhere in the school, or maybe even better than that, if we will not build them a mosque in our public schools so they can have their prayers on time. And I can go on and on and on with what Muslims believe they have the right to receive in our public schools in America. And boy, oh boy, if we can compare what's happening in America to the Muslim students, to what is happening to the Christians in the Muslim schools in the Muslim world, it is literally like heaven and hell. For I, as a Christian student, lived all the years of my life in Egypt in a Muslim school. And I know what it is to be persecuted for being a Christian in a Muslim school. And that is what the Americans do not know about the treatment of Muslims to Christian students in the Muslim world. Have we treated the Muslim students in America as how the Christians are treated in the rest of the Muslim world? Maybe then the Muslims of America who are born here, grown up all their life here, will understand and feel the pain which Christian students face every day when they go to the public schools in the Muslim world. Well, let's move on to the next question, which is question number 13.
Number 13, local measures to end bullying of Muslims. Do you support school districts taking measures to identify, record, and prevent anti-Muslim bullying?
Here we go, America. The Muslim students are being bullied in America, in our public schools. And to understand this question, once again, let us listen to the background of why Muslim inserted that question to our candidates for government officials.
Background. Muslim children are targets for bullying because their name identifies them as Muslim, or because they practice their religion openly by praying while at school, wearing a hijab, headscarf, or growing a beard. Sometimes, this leads to them being called a terrorist by their peers, or taunts that they are going to bomb the school. Often, the child victim of bullying will react or retaliate against their tormentors. School administrators have punished this behavior rather than the initial bullying.
So now we know why Muslim students, according to CARE, are being bullied in our public schools. Because they wear the hijab. Because they grow up their beard. Because they pray the Muslim prayers. Because they have their halal food. And more than that, trust me, because they have the Muslim names. Do you really believe this hogwash? And CARE is complaining about the school administrators because they punish the Muslim students when they retaliate. What retaliation? Oh, we're not going to talk about that because that will show you the true picture of Islam. These Muslim students are not victims. These Muslim students are the bullying who started the fight in our public schools in America. And I wish I have the time to investigate some of these cases for you to show you what the original crime was and how Muslim students react to it. They retaliate in the way of Allah, as they have been taught by the Muslim imams in the mosque. These Muslim students will do exactly what any Muslim jihadi terrorist would do to an American student who maybe simply made a statement or make an emotion with his face about some Muslim praying or wearing the hijab or growing his beard in our schools in America. This conflict will always be there. And you know why? Because Muslims will not assimilate with us here in America. The problem is not in the American students who will naturally do these things to other students if they are Jew or Christian or have any other beliefs. But the problem is Muslims will stand up for their right to defend themselves, to defend Allah, to practice Islam, to practice Sharia, which requires them to retaliate, to revenge, if any of these things happened in the public school, which always happening, once again, between students, all kinds of students. But the retaliation, which is Islam, is the problem for why Muslims of CARE are demanding that the new candidates who will be running for any office must submit to the will of the Muslim people of America to accommodate the Muslims in America, including, obviously, the Muslim students, so that they will have their way to infiltrate our public schools and change America from within, to make our public school a Muslim society and to change all America into a Muslim society. Because after all, Muslims will not assimilate with us, but we must accommodate them.
Muslims claim that the Quran is the final revelation of Allah to mankind, a perfect book given to us through Muhammad. Islam challenges that upon reading the Quran, the seeker is at once convinced that it is the very word of Allah. Muslims declare that no mere man could have written such a perfect collection of verses, covering a wide variety of topics, events, and doctrines. Within the pages of the Quran, one will find familiar events and people such as the creation, the flood, Adam and Eve, Noah, Abraham, Moses, and Jesus. But even the casual reader will notice distinct and striking differences between the Quranic and the much older biblical accounts of the same topics. Muslim apologists will contend that it is the Bible which has been corrupted. The Straight Wave Grace Ministry is pleased to announce the release of a challenging and thought-provoking two-volume book series titled Exposing the Truth About the Quran. Containing over 800 pages of detailed research, the author examines these claims through careful comparisons of Quranic, biblical, historical, and archaeological records. The reader will soon discover that the Quran does not even agree with itself and is completely at odds with biblical and historical accounts. Exposing the Truth About the Quran, Volumes 1 and 2, are available now. After 14 centuries of blind adherence, now is the time for critical and thoughtful examination. Visit us online at www.thestraightway.org to order your copy today. Case discounts are also available. And now, back to our show.
Well, let's move on with question number 14.
Number 14. School recognition of Muslim holidays. Do you support public school systems with significant Muslim populations in your congressional district and or state closing for the Muslim holidays of Eid al-Iftar and Eid al-Adha when many students or faculty would otherwise be absent?
Here we go, America. We need to accommodate our Muslim students in our public school concerning these two Eid, Eid al-Iftar and Eid al-Adha. And to understand that question, we must also listen to the background of this question.
Background. Eid al-Iftar, which comes at the end of the month-long fast of Ramadan, is the first of two major Muslim holidays. The second holiday, Eid al-Adha, comes at the end of the Hajj, or pilgrimage to Mecca. Many public school districts, including New York City, New York, Cambridge, Massachusetts, Dearborn, Michigan, Burlington, Vermont, Paterson and South Brunswick, New Jersey, and Montgomery County, Maryland, and others already grant school days off for Eid. Many more schools note Eid on school calendars and excuse student absences.
Can't you see the agenda of the Muslims in America? They start in one city and they move to the next city and then they want to make it the law of the land. Muslims need to be accommodated in America by allowing these two vacations to be on the calendar, Eid al-Adha and Eid al-Iftar. And that's because, after all, these students have been fasting the entire month of Ramadan and they need to celebrate such festival. My friends, the problem we have in America is this. American people are naive and they do not understand that you give Muslim an inch and they take a mile. That is exactly why I said do not allow the Muslims to take the first inch because then you're going to lose the entire mile. That is exactly what Muslims are doing. Why aren't the Muslims accommodating the Christians in any country of the Muslim world? Because we have no place there. And when you accommodate the Muslims in America, you will have no place in America. That is exactly what is coming to a city near you. Well, let's move on to the next question, that is question number 15, to learn about how else can we accommodate our Muslim students in our public schools.
Number 15, Muslim student nutritional needs. In communities with large Muslim populations, do you support halal, Islamically permissible food options on school cafeteria menus?
As I mentioned to you earlier, We must accommodate the Muslim students with halal food, with Sharia, Islamic law in our public school. And here is a background to understand why Muslims are demanding this option for their students in our public school.
Background. By meeting Islamic dietary laws, Muslim students are not virtually excluded from the school lunch system.
Dietary laws or Sharia, Islamic laws, because that's where the dietary laws come from. We have to serve the Muslim students halal meals in our public schools. And believe it or not, in the same cities where they mentioned that the school allowed the students to celebrate the two festivals to be absent from the school, that is Eid al-Adha and Eid al-Iftar, they are the same schools where now Muslim moved to step number two. You see, step number one in these schools where they have large number of Muslim students, they first said, we want to have two separate meals. One for the normal infidels, unlawful food, and one halal, lawful for our Muslim students. But guess what? If you go today to these schools, you'll find they're only serving one meal, which is the halal meal. The unlawful food is no longer allowed in these public schools. After all, it's good food with good flavor, with good meal, and it is halal. It is the food to please Allah. And that is exactly what I'm trying to tell you, America. If you allow the Muslims to take 1 inch, they will take the entire mile. And soon in America, I'm not kidding you, this is exactly what will happen in America. Soon in America, there will not be any store where you can buy anything forbidden. Not even Walmart. Not even any grocery store you have in your community. It will be all halal food, as it is in the case of New Zealand. Do you know that in New Zealand now, you cannot find any unlawful meat, any unlawful chicken? That is animals killed by a hand of a butcher who is not a Muslim. Animals was killed in any other name except the name of Allah. That is exactly what is coming to America if we just allow the Muslims to do what they desire. First, in our public schools. Second, in our public life. Let's move on to question number 16.
Immigration. Number 16. Pathway to citizenship. Do you support the adoption of comprehensive federal immigration reform, which provides a pathway to citizenship for the nation's 11 million undocumented immigrants?
Once again, don't you love it that Muslims in America are fighting for the illegal Mexican, the 11 million or maybe 20 million? Because we do not know really how many are there. But do you really think that Muslims are that concerned about the illegal Mexican in America? Or are they concerned about the illegal Muslims in America? Now let me ask you a question. Have you ever heard your legislators, Republicans or Democrats, using the word illegal and the word Muslim in one sentence? The answer is, let me give it to you, absolutely not. You will never hear anybody in America talk about the illegal Muslims as if we in America do not have any illegal Muslims in America. But let me give you the bad news, America. And I challenge anybody to prove me wrong. I believe deep in my heart that in America we have at least 10 million illegal Muslims. And if CARE can change the laws through our new legislators to allow these millions of illegal Mexicans to become citizens, trust me, the 10 or more million illegal Muslims will also become citizens, because that is exactly what CARE is hoping to accomplish. That's why CARE gets involved in our politics. Why? Because they want the laws in America to change to benefit the Muslims of America. That's why CARE supported Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib, and the thousands who are running for different offices all over this country. That is, in the local city positions, the county positions, and the many other positions which we, the Christians, are not interested to run for, like school board members. Boy, oh boy, if you watch the agenda of the Muslims in America and what they will be accomplishing in this country in the next few years, you will literally be shocked and you will have a heart attack. But let's move on to question number 17.
Number 17, resettling refugees. Do you support locally resettling Syrian, Iraqi, Somali, or Afghani refugees?
Do you understand the question, my dear friends? The Muslim jihadi of care is asking those who will be running for any office in the future of America, will you support bringing Muslim refugees to America? And they only name four countries, that is Syria, Iraq, Somalia, and Afghanistan. And I can go on and on with the list of the 57 Muslim countries. Because if you allow them to come from Somalia, one of the countries which Mr. Trump have put the ban on, that means you'll allow them to come to America from the rest of the 57 Muslim countries. And now let's ask the question, why do the liberals and the Muslims call them Muslim refugees? Why can't you just call them Muslims? But you see, if you say we're going to bring Muslims to America, that means Muslims are invading America. But if you say Muslim refugees, these are the people who need our love. These are the people who need our help. These are the people who are struggling. And trust me, if you bring these Muslims to America for any reason within the title of refugees, you will bring to America roughly around 750 million Muslims. That is half of the Muslim population. You know why? Because half of the Muslim people in the world today are persecuted by the other half of the Muslims, and they have the right to come to America as refugees. But where are the ones who will speak about bringing Christian refugees to America? Have you ever heard any of our legislators talking about bringing Christian refugees to America, those who are persecuted by the Muslims? And why don't the Muslims ask Saudi Arabia, the most rich country in the Middle East with plenty of land, to take these Muslims as refugees? Why must we bring them to America? And by the way, Saudi Arabia are willing to spend the billions of dollars to bring the Muslims from planet Earth to America, but they will not take Muslims as refugees into their borders. Hello, America. Wake up, America, before it is too late. And to continue our study of Islamophobia and the 2020 election, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this, "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.